Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Words Matter by Judy Morano is full of nuggets of wisdom about all the topics we don't like to talk about: aging, parenting, children, adversity, and much more. These moments in time can be read by themselves or as part of a whole story of Judy finding her voice through her experiences. Judy lives in Brewster, New York, with her husband, two dogs, two cats, a college professor of writing and public speaking, as well as a business owner. Educational Awareness, her company, assists high school students through the college process, with her favorite part being the college essay. A contributing author to Best Self magazine, recipient of the State University of New York Chancellor's Award for Teaching Excellence, she doesn't miss a day on the yoga mat or going for a long walk. A beach-loving girl, and yes, her happy place is the Jersey Shore. Judy Morano, author of Words Matter, a collection of vignettes examining the shared space of motherhood, marriage, friendship, aging, and femininity, joins us on This Week in America. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rick. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation today. Let's talk about the title. I love the title, Words Matter. It says so much, and it's only two words. How did you come up with the title?
Well, I love words. I love the way they sound. I love the way they feel when they come out of your mouth. I've always loved words. I remember being in third grade and making that shadow box of, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And there was me, little stick me, with a little typewriter in front of me, because I was so sure that words were going to be a huge piece of my life. So I am a teacher, and I tell my students at the beginning of every semester that words are your superpower. And you can use them for good, and you can change the way somebody feels in a heartbeat, or you can use them for evil, and you can cut somebody down just as quickly. And so because of that, words matter is sort of what I tell them all the time. People are sick of me saying it. So it only made sense when I started thinking about my book that words do matter. And each of these stories comes from a place where I'm examining a word or a phrase that was used or misused or overused. And it all kind of circled back to this Words Matter idea. So it just seemed like the natural name for my book.
Well, I love the title, Words Matter. Judy Morano is our guest. That's M-A-R-A-N-O. Our website, judymorano.com. Book at Amazon, the usual places. And we'll give that information throughout the program. Words Matter. Remember that for your next your reading assignment. Read this book, because it really is a life-altering book. And remember it, because those two words, in as you say, in daily conversation, are so important to remember that words actually matter. Choose them carefully. Why do you think readers are responding like they are to the stories in the book, and the reviews that have been excellent? Why do you think you're getting such a positive response for Words Matter?
So I think part of it is that I talk in conversation. A lot of people have reached out to me and said, I feel like we're sitting having tea.
Yes.
And I'm talking about the subjects that we want to talk about, but we can't find the person that we want to share it with, or maybe we feel hesitant because they're tough topics. But I don't want you to think this book is heavy. It's not. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm such a terrible person, let me read this book and be better. It's more, let me explore who I am. And people are really responding to, I did a reading last night, and one of the titles of one of my stories is, you know, please, something about, this is terrible that I don't know. I'm sorry. We explored the words, I'm sorry, because people throw it around so haphazardly. I'm sorry that you feel terrible. Well, you have nothing to do with how I feel terrible. You have no reason to feel sorry. So we explored that, and we ended up having this amazing conversation about how it is just a misused phrase. And I love that. I love that it opens up conversation. My first story in the book is called I'm Okay. And the word okay is one of those words that, you know, has so many different meanings. And everybody in my family has banned the word okay from their vocabulary.
Good call.
Because I say, well, what does that really mean?
Well, yes, it's like fine. Everybody uses fine.
Exactly.
I don't know whether fine is good or it's not good, and you don't want to tell me it's not good. Exactly. So I've tried to totally take that out of my vocabulary, because I don't know what it means.
Exactly. Exactly. And what I said last night to the people that I was with, I said, you know, it's kind of like when you show up for a meeting late and you say, I'm sorry, I'm late. And the whole tone of the meeting is like people are angry because how dare you be late? And if you walked in and you said, thank you so much for your consideration, the whole thing would change. The whole dynamic would change.
Interesting. Words matter. It's just taking a second before you open your mouth just to sort of think through what you're saying and what the words would mean to you if you're on the other end. If you're listening to these words, what would register with you? The book is Words Matter. Judy Morano is our guest on the program. Book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. Do you have like a favorite word or words? And does it change from time to time as your thoughts do?
I mean, I have a lot of words that I love, but my most favorite word is the word cacophony. And the reason I love it so much is because it is such a bold word. It's like out there and it's strong and you don't misunderstand what it sounds like, what it is. It feels like what it is. And I feel like when you add it to a sentence, it just blows up. Love the word cacophony.
I love that too. I'm still working on the spelling. And once I get that down, I think I will use it.
You'll
more.
You'll be good. Yeah,
I got a lot of C's in that in there. And I'm still just trying to work with that. Let's take the other side of that. Is there a catchphrase that drives you crazy that you wish would go away? And my mind is rushing now. I can think of 10 or 12 right off the top of my head.
I can think of 10 or 12, but my big one is I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay is my big word. And like I said, I've banned it from my family. I just feel like it says nothing. It says nothing. It my okay on a good day can be your marginal, or your fantastic could be my worst day. How do we know with the word okay?
You know, I mentioned in the beginning, this we sort of follow your journey of finding your voice through your experiences, and we can relate and find our voice. How long did it take you? What kind of process was that to find your voice? And what do you have to go through? I think sort of being totally honest with yourself and an open mind as you're going through that process. How difficult is it for people to find their voice?
It's very, very difficult. And you have to really look at the hard stuff. And for me, this is a 3-year journey. And each time, what I do is I take a situation, let's say, and anybody can do this, you know, recall a situation and then look at it from a different lens. Look at it from the lens of the receiver, or look at it from the lens of a different version of yourself. And, you know, maybe twist it around and say, well, what if I would have done this? How would it have changed? Right? I do a lot of who am I? I do a lot of who am I and who am I to other people? And who am I as a sister and a mother and a friend and a daughter? Who am I? And my family is, you know, the whole process. And I live what I speak. I don't write things that I don't truly believe. And it's really changed the person that I am. I know who I am now. And I'm not just a mother. And I'm not just a sister or a wife or a daughter. I'm a combination of those things. And I think once I started to own that, I could really be comfortable in my own skin.
How important is introspection? It sounds like that's sort of the key, maybe the initial key in finding yourself.
It's huge. It's huge. And we have these two personas. We all do. We have the persona that we show the world, and then we have that other persona who is our true self. And I think we need to learn who our true self is and then start incorporating that into our persona that the public sees, right? Who am I? Okay, now I'm emotional, I'm vulnerable, I'm all of those things. And it's okay to once in a while show that side. And the more that you show it, the more comfortable you become with it. And then suddenly you're finding yourself being more open and honest to other people.
Do you find we sometimes try to present ourselves in a way that other people will be impressed or view favorably? You're talking about vulnerability. Some see that as a sign of weakness. Even though I feel vulnerable, I really don't want to express that. That will be to my detriment if I express that. Do you find that happens sometimes that I'm not going to show you me. I'm going to show you who you think I am.
I'm going to give you an example to answer your question. I teach a public speaking class, and about week 10 into a 15-week semester, I do what I call speed dating. Now, speed dating is not about dating. It's about communicating. And I give them a list of 100 get-to-know-you questions, and they have to pick 5 that they think will be the best representation of who they are. And then they have 3 minutes, and we literally go through a speed dating. Every 3 minutes, they have to switch positions. And the first couple are very stilted and they're very, I'm protecting myself, you're protecting yourself. By the third or fourth round, I have kids who are opening up and sharing themselves. And it was just one of those aha moments. And one of my students said to me halfway through, he said, wait, before I was ready to start. And he said, I just realized something. And I said, what? And he said, I hoping they get there, right? And he said, the more that I open up, the more the other person does too.
Uh-huh.
And I said, yes. And that changed everything.
That's why you're a teacher, isn't it? I mean, those moments like that when you can almost see the light bulb go off and you're thinking, okay, this person just got it. Judy Marano is our guest on the program, M-A-R-A-N-O. If you're Googling, book available at Amazon, the usual places. Her website, judymarano.com. The book is called Words Matter, a collection of vignettes examining the shared spaces of motherhood, marriage, friendship, aging, and femininity. Do you have a favorite quote? You enjoy words so much. I'm sure that you like words and in phrases as well. Any favorite quotes?
I do. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if the camera can see it. I have it tattooed on me. I love it so much. So this is the Syrian calligraphy for my favorite quote, which is, this too shall pass.
Ah, I like that as well.
And the reason, there's two reasons I love it. I love the story behind it. And I don't know if you know the story behind it. Do you?
No.
Okay. So there was a Middle Eastern king he sent out a bunch of people to figure out a saying that could be his like mantra, his moment, that would really show the fluidity of life. And he asked all these different people, and this person came up with, this too shall pass. Because if a moment is feeling like you can't stand it and it's weighing on you, if you just breathe and wait a minute, it will pass. Right? Because we don't live in those moments of depression, nor do we live in those moments of elation. But they change. And if you just count on the change, you can get through anything.
So much wisdom in that, and you'll find it in Words Matter. The book is so well done by Judy Marano, our guest on the program. We talked about speaking words. Sometimes people think words are really words just written on paper. Do they need to be written on paper to even be considered words? We just talk. That's one thing. But a real word is written on paper.
A real word is written on paper. And yes, I don't think you need to write them on paper to make them meaningful. I think that what paper does is it gives them a lastability. You know, you can go back and you can reread. You can keep it as a public record. But I think that words that are spoken are less misinterpreted. Because if you think about it, with a word where you speak it, you add in the body language and the emotion and the intonation and all of the beautiful things. And you know, being a word person, right, you can elicit a meaning. Words on paper, you've got to be so careful because it can be misinterpreted so easily.
You do that all the time. You're writing something, you're thinking, okay, how is this going to be interpreted when they read it? I mean it one way. It's possible it could be interpreted in another way. The book is Words Matter. Boy, time is going by so quickly. These are stories that can be shared by all of us. The names, places may change, the situations, but stories that will impact all of us. I want to take that a step further with words. How has technology impacted words? You're talking about all of this, and I'm thinking now, and you see it every day in the classroom. Do words really matter, or is it something, you know, if I can text it's okay?
And that's the problem, right? If I can send an emoji, why should I think of a word?
Exactly, yes.
But, you know, I think technology has been one of the problems with the degradation of words, right? They're losing their power because we're throwing them around too easily. And an emoji doesn't carry that. To me, and I don't use emojis, and I'm also one of those people, when I text, I use correct punctuation, spelling, and capital letters. So I'm not a great texter because it takes me a really long time because I don't want misinterpretation of language.
Exactly. Yes.
So I think that texting has sort of watered down our language a little bit. When I was writing the book, I was very cognizant of the fact of how people would receive it. And had different people read pieces of different ages and different places in their life, just to make sure that no matter what I was saying, it wouldn't be taken wrong. But technology does that. I think it makes it harder for us to figure out the meaning behind the words.
That's so true. And Judy Morano, our guest on the program, the book is Words Matter. It's a series of small stories. What's the best way to read this? Do you read this in small pieces? Do you read it like a novel? Do you read it and put it up in the bookcase so you can refer to it as you're going through various situations you discuss in the book? What's the best way to read Words Matter?
I think it depends on where you're at. I see it as a night table kind of book. Right? Or a beach
yes.
book
yes.
Where you could take it. I think that after each reading, there's a moment, and most people tell me, and you know, I from an author's standpoint, it's always interesting to hear other people, that you read it, and then there's that moment of, wow, let me think about that. So you could read it beginning to end, and there is a story, you know, an underlying story of me finding who I was and who I am. But I think it's better read as, let me see how this reading will affect me today. And then I'm a big fan of going back. And if there are certain readings that really move you, you know, going back and revisiting them during different moments as a way of finding, maybe refinding your path or finding your way home or whatever.
The book is Words Matter. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places, at Judy's website, judymorano.com. And I'll give you all of that as we go through the conversation. As I mentioned, you teach writing. You teach the writing process. What is your writing process? What works for you, and how long did it take you to get comfortable with your writing process?
It was hard, and I teach process, but yet everybody's process is so unique.
Yes.
So for me, my process starts with an interaction, whether it's a word that pops up or someone I spoke with or something I could have read. And I sort of look at a situation and I say, okay, what can I learn from this? And then I verbal vomit. I love that. That's so not a pretty word, but I verbal vomit onto paper. And I just talk, like just write everything I can think about of what I've learned from that situation. And then I let it sit. And I don't think about it for a few days. I don't go back to it. I think about it, but I don't go back to it. And then I go back to it after a few days and I say, okay, let's revisit this. How can we formulate it in a way that talks about that learning? What did I learn? And that's sort of, so for me, even a rough draft can take 2 or 3 weeks, right? Even though I'm only writing maybe between 1,000 and 1,500 words per story, it can take me 3 weeks just to get a rough. And then I go from there and I actually send my rough to my son, who's a brilliant human being. But just he's just really critically, he's a good critical reader.
Yes.
And he'll say to me either, yes, go forward, or mom, trash it and start again.
The honesty of a son. You don't get that too often, do you? When people want to tell you what you want to hear.
And his wife will read it too. She's another one of my readers, and she's a brilliant woman. And her corrections are always so like, well, maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do that. But no, my son is just like, nope, he'll like make big X's and love it because I get it from both different directions. And then from there, we decide if it's worthy. And then it goes through my draft and redraft and raft and redraft until I'm happy with it.
Growing up, and boy, time is going by quickly. You touched on this earlier. You consider yourself a word nerd and a grammar geek. Word and grammar, separate the two, because you may understand a lot about words and be able to use them well. If the grammar's not there and people read it, then suddenly they have a negative impression. Are we talking, or is that just me? Are we talking two separate categories there, words and grammar?
We are. I love words. I love to read. I'm a huge reader. I read probably 2 books a week. I love the way that people put words together, and I love looking at new authors and seeing how they manage to put words on paper and the words that they use. I'm constantly in my classroom throwing out words that I know my kids don't know, and I make them incorporate them into their vocabulary. I love speaking to people who have rich vocabularies. That's a piece of it. I also love teaching grammar. I love showing kids how when you move a word in a sentence, it changes the meaning. Or if you restructure the sentence, you can give somebody more power or take away their power. You can also write sentences in a way that you tell people how to read them. Do you want to read it fast? Do you want them to pause? I love commas. I love that grammar can take a piece and make it exceptional.
So you may spend an afternoon subjugating verbs just for something to do.
Okay, maybe not that bad, but I love
Okay.
that once a week I do teach basic grammar to my students. And even though they're way beyond it, I feel like going back to that opens their eyes to what the grammar can do. And I think the grammar enhances the words.
When you decided, okay, I really enjoy words, what was the next step to becoming a writer, to actually tell stories? What was that transition like from, okay, I like words to now, okay, I'm going to write
With
about words with
words,
words. Yes.
yeah. That's a great question. I feel like so many people in the course of my younger life would say to me, "You need to write a book," and I'd be talking, and they'd say, "You need to write a book." And then the pandemic happened, and I said, "Well, maybe I have something to say," and that's how it started. It was just a lot of people saying, "Yeah, I like how you're viewing the world. You need to write a book." And so it was just sort of a natural progression for me. And because I teach writing was not something that was foreign to me. And I've always been a journaler and a short story writer for my own. So it was just sort of the hardest part was getting over that fear of putting your words on paper and having somebody else read them. That was probably the hardest part.
You've done such an excellent job with the book Words Matter, a collection of vignettes examining the shared spaces of motherhood, marriage, friendship, aging, and femininity. Book available wherever books are sold. Send you to Judy's website, judymarano.com, Marano. A couple minutes left in the program. Are you working on like another book? Will there be Words Matter
I
2?
am.
Oh, great.
I
Great.
am. I am. There are 10 pieces already written for the next book. And again, I'm in a different place, which is, again, as my parents age, my 81-year-old parents are still spry and wonderful, but they are 81. And as they age, there are new things that come up. My children are now married or going to be married or going to be having children. I'm in a different place, which tells me I need to move to a different place.
I'm looking forward to that. This book is touching so many people and getting us to pause and think and be introspective and to look at our lives maybe in a different way. Words matter. Could you also do a subtitle, Think Before You Engage Your Mouth? How many times do we say something and then we can tell from the reaction, in some cases a spousal reaction, that boy, that was not the right thing to say. Pause 3 seconds before you talk.
It sounds right in your head, and then when it leaves your mouth, you went, "Oh no, that
Yes.
wasn't it."
And
Yeah.
sometimes you can't erase those, can you? I mean, those words
No.
are out there.
Lesson one in my public speaking classes, once they're out there are no take backs.
Words to
So,
live by. That's another. We've got so many words
yes.
to live by
Yeah.
that came out of this conversation today. Judy, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again.
Thank
So much more to talk about. Love your book, Words Matter, a collection of vignettes examining the shared spaces of motherhood, marriage, friendship, aging, and femininity. I just sort of substituted for motherhood and femininity in the subtitle there to meet
you.
my
That's
needs.
okay.
But thank you for joining us on the program. It's been great having you with us. Look forward to
Thank
doing it again.
you.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a wonderful day.
You as well. Going to the beach today here. I say that with sort of to get sort of a smile out of you. But how important is it to have that happy place where you can go
Oh,
sort everything
I
out?
do so much writing at the beach. It is. It's my happy place. I put my feet on the sand and I go, "Okay, I'm good."
We all need our happy place, and Judy's fortunate she's found hers. Judy Marano, author of Words Matter. We're back on today's This Week in America after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.